Jones pumps and fires and has his man, Najee Harris. Touchdown, Alabama. Najee's second through the air. And Jones, third of the night.
Watch Najee to the top of the screen go out, stop, and then run across the field. Out, stop, and then go across the linebacker's face.
ETN trying to bounce outside to the 30. He's loose to midfield. To the 30, 20, 10, touchdown.
Packer and plenty of room to run.
Williams bounces in again. Adds to his total. He's just banging into people, still going. He's just having fun tonight. He's still running. And dragged down inside the 20. Relentless. He didn't care what the score is. He's just having the time of his life out there.
Najee, Ohio State has a really good front. How are you able to expose those holes so effortlessly?
Effortlessly?
You see what they were doing? They'll blow my ass up.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with all the tools today. This is draft week, and we are doing all the draft coverage. We already gave you our quarterback synopsis of this draft. That was posted last week on Friday. Go back, listen to that. It's gold, Jerry, gold! And now we are moving on to the running back class. And actually, tomorrow we'll be recording a mock draft. All 32 picks. Tools putting on the GM hats. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. Who's going to mess up their team the most? My money's on C, but, you know, we'll see.
You know better than that.
How you doing, CJ?
I can't complain, man. I cannot complain. Your boy here, live and in color.
Right on. Nasty Nate Parker, what's good, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Woody?
Doing all right, bud. Doing all right. You got to teach me how to play some of that defense on the basketball court you'd be talking about.
We can probably do that. Play some pickleball.
I do all right. I'll do all right. If my knee doesn't fall off, we'll see. Brandon Lumberg. Coach! Blow the whistle. There we go. What's up, everybody? All right, y'all ready to talk some running backs? My personal favorite position. Brandon, your position, your favorite position as well, I believe. I mean, we're old school. We come from the Jerome Bettis, Damian Tomlinson days.
Just three back yards in a cloud of dust.
3 yards in a cloud of dust, man. That used to be the position. All right, so there's a special grouping.
They didn't
in
like the
running
ratio.
Back.
They didn't they didn't like the ratio at running back. So they was like, you know what? We just going to pay these guys the least.
Yeah, right?
There's still some major receivers and other positions out there. But, you know, yeah.
So as y'all know, we have two running backs that are ready. We're going to cover the top four backs. And then everyone's going to pick their, like, sleeper back, like a lesser-known back that will be taken in the later rounds. But there's two running backs that are being looked at in the first and second round from the same university. That's North Carolina running back Javonte Williams, North Carolina running back Michael Carter. So that piqued my interest, and I was like, hey, that's a good question. What are, in the past, two running backs from the same college that were taken in the same draft in the higher rounds? So I look back, and in recent memory, we're going to stick around the 2000s. There's been four sets of running backs taken from other colleges. But taken from the same college in the same draft. I'm going to give you the most recent one, so nobody can use that one. All right.
Darn it.
Does anyone want to say who they think it is, the most recent one?
Yeah.
Sony, Michelle, and Nick Chubb.
There you go. That's them. All right. So that's the most recent one. Now, there are three other ones from the 2000s.
Is that the most recent one?
Yes, that is the most recent one. Unless there's a... Was Swift?
No. Swift I'm thinking about, so Chubb and Sony Michelle did pop up in my mind, but I also thought more recent than that maybe was Jacobs and my man.
No, they were Damian Harris. They were a year apart.
Yeah, a year apart.
Okay.
That it's next man up in Alabama. You get your shine the next year, then you get drafted. Damian Harris slept on running back. We'll get to that later in the offseason. But yeah, so you have three other tandems back in all from the years 2000 between 2010. Anybody got a guess?
From 2000, 2010. One of them, off the top, Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown.
Bingo, that's one.
Well, Marianne Barber and Lawrence Maroney.
No, they were taken a year apart. Because I thought that one, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Reggie Bush and Lindell Wyatt.
Boom, my man. You got the
that's the one. That's definitely, yeah.
Now, and it's one more, right?
There's one other one. And see, you're going to be mad if you don't get this one because it hits close to home. At one point in time, you started.
Ryan Williams and.
Nope. At one point in time, your team started both of these backs at different points in time.
Oh, Felix Cowboys? Jones and Darren McFadden.
Boom, my man over here nailing it.
Trifecta.
Got all nice. Three. Hell yeah. I'm pretty impressed. There we go. That was a good trivia question, though, right?
That was excellent. That was good, Woody.
Thank you.
Look, it was great. Your delivery is awful, but the question itself.
Call me Gucci Man.
You sold the hit record regardless. Like, yeah.
Blow sure. The whistle.
We might as well call you T-Pain.
All right, I can deal with that.
Man, yeah, Lindell White and Reggie Bush, man.
Yeah, they were. Don't even get me started, bro. We could talk about them for hours. Look,
I still think y'all wrong about the Bama backfield. Y'all sure? Are y'all sure?
Najee Harris was a year after Jacobs was drafted. Look it up.
Wait, you're thinking Josh Jacobs and who? Damian Harris. Yeah, I don't think Jacobs played that much. Like he was
Jacobs was
like
a backup.
Jacobs was the backup, and he was drafted before Harris.
Yeah.
Because he's got the hands.
And he's bigger.
Woody was wrong. I was wrong too. Harris and Jacobs were drafted in the same draft, 2019. CJ was right. Jacobs was drafted in the first round. Harris was drafted in the third round.
Oh, okay.
That's CJ. Right. Harris was a tiny man. Tiny men get disrespected sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not a big Harris fan.
You're not a big Najee Harris fan?
Or no, Damian I'm a big Harris? Najee Damian. Damian Harris.
I don't know.
Only because I know me and Brandon had just brief conversation about this, but I always felt like Damian Harris, I felt like Nick Saban liked him because he was that guy. We've all had those teammates to where you didn't think they were that good, but they were just like upstanding, very respectful, great leader, and just pretty good at everything. I always felt like Damian Harris was that. When I think of talented running backs to come through Alabama, Damian Harris is the outlier. When I think of Trent Richardson, Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, I don't think of Damian Harris. I mean, he's, 210-pound back, running 4.5, not overly big, not overly strong.
Did Eddie Lacy go to Alabama too?
Eddie Lacy's another one that I think of before he got fat.
I mean, Damian Harris, though, last year looked really, really promising on the Patriots. He's going in as the number one back this offseason.
If Eddie Lacy could have stayed away from Chick-fil-A, Eddie Lacy was a special dude.
Woody, I think I see that. I don't think he's the most talented back in that backfield though.
Who? But Sony?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Sony.
Nah, I'll take Damian.
I think Sony's more talented. I think Sony James may not. White.
All right. Well, let's talk about Najee Harris. So we just went through all the past Alabama running backs: Derrick Henry, Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs, Mark Ingram, Big Truss. Where does Najee Harris fall in this Parthenon? Personally, I think Najee Harris is the second best one. I go Derrick Henry, Najee Harris.
Yeah,
I agree with you, man. I think Najee Harris is going to be a stud at the next level.
Yeah, me too. Absolute
stud.
He's got that motor where just he starts wearing on people as the game goes on. And just hitting that hole a little harder, a little harder. Every time I see him run late in games, I just think of Big Julius from Remember the Titans when they're doing the up-down drill, and he's just like, fourth quarter,
you know, fourth quarter. I think Najee, believe it or not, I honestly think he's underrated. I think when we compare him to some of the past backs, I guess in the last 5 to 10 years that's went inside the top 10, 12 picks. I think Najee Harris is that type of talent. I mean, your Ezekiel Elliott's, your Leonard Fournette's, your Christian McCaffrey's, I think he can have that same type of impact. And I'm honestly surprised that he's not getting, you know, that type of publicity. I mean, me and Brandon, I know during the college football show last year, we talked about it at length a couple of times, but Najee Harris, to see him split out and have the fluidity in his hips and the feet he has to be able to come out of the backfield, catch passes, line up out wide and run routes, like, that's super impressive because I was not sure he could do that before this year, so.
Yeah, and on top of all that, he's a culture guy. I mean, you read that article of where he literally, he's not even going to run in the 40 because he has a resume unto itself. He has nothing to prove.
Right.
Or he wasn't going to work out in the combine. So this man drove all the way from Texas just to be there for Alabama's pro day to watch his teammates work out.
I think that there are some concerns, though, with his long speed. But again, I don't see that as being a huge factor.
Just watch the national championship. This dude busted like an 80-yard run through the second level. No one was catching that, man.
It was the semifinals, and it was Notre Dame. And I don't want to say that. Like, Notre Dame is slow because it's college football. But I will say Notre Dame isn't known for speed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
He hits that third level of the defense, and sometimes, you know, rather than breaking away or separating, he's, you know, defenders can catch him. But I will say this, he has like a vicious stiff arm. He's just a longer player at 6'2", so physically in space, he does a really good job. And really what stands out the most is his ability as a receiver, guys. I mean, like you just said, CJ, I mean, he reminded me in that Florida game, when you go back to the film, he scored 3 receiving touchdowns. He was splitting out wide, and he was just doing all kinds of stuff as a receiver in that game out of the backfield. He reminded me of Lev Bell, like, with the Steelers, though. Not the current one.
I see it.
Lev Bell with the Chiefs, for sure. I love Najee Harris. The running back is by far, like, one of the positions where, like, you have to be a complete athlete to be truly successful in the NFL at the highest level and get paid. The only concern I have with him is I think he's probably the third best athlete in this as at the running back position in this draft, just the way I see it.
You could argue that could be the case. I feel like instinctually this guy has just grown so much. His ability to just see things behind the line of scrimmage, his cutting ability behind the line of scrimmage. There's on film, you'll see him, somebody will make contact with him behind the line of scrimmage. He'll bounce off of that, and he's able to just second effort yards, so to speak, from behind the line
of scrimmage.
And he's
patient. He's really, really patient. Like, he probably has the best vision out of any back coming out in this draft.
Le'Veon Bell quality, as Brandon said, just having that patience and that vision that you just mentioned, Nate. I see a lot of Le'Veon Bell in that aspect of his game too. I think, man, athleticism, we gotta remember it's 2021. The recruiting services, just everything has progressed and evolved over time, which means it's creme de la creme. It's the cream of the crop in the NFL, which means that every running back in the NFL, they're plus athletes. You know what I'm saying? But it's certain things that separate. You know, look, there's a guy on the NFL sideline right now who is comparable as far as athletically to, say, Saquon Barkley. I can damn near guarantee it. And that guy probably doesn't see the field because he doesn't have the other qualities that Saquon possess. So, I mean, hey, Najee Harris, he might be the third best athlete as it pertains to the running backs in this class. I don't think it means too much. Because it's about functional athleticism. I don't care if you ran a 4.3, how fast can you hit that hole 7 yards, you know, from the backfield in a single eye formation,
like,
you know,
when we're running the lead. So, CJ, you're 100% right, because 4.3, 4.2 speed means absolutely nothing if you're not willing to hit the hole that hard, too. So, like, there's a difference between running at full speed down a 40-yard dash and then being like, oh, I have to go hit people at the end of this at my top speed. So, like, there's a difference there. But the when I say athleticism, I'm less talking about 40 speed. And we've all seen this. I would say one of the best athletes in the NFL, especially at their running back position, is probably Alvin Kamara. His stability in which he has and his ability to change directions is the athleticism I'm talking about. And I'm not saying Najee Harris doesn't have that. I'm just saying that I think there are two backs that we'll talk about later that are better at that than him. And the lateral change in direction is becoming so important, as you'll notice, is the arguably the best offensive weapon on the New Orleans Saints is Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, no, I think lateral quickness is a very underrated thing for a running back. We've seen guys that weren't that fast be able to get by on just lateral quickness and be serviceable in the league. We've seen guys with less than stellar 40 times, but it's either or. Because, like, you could still be successful without the best lateral quickness if you're just that missile that kind of runs and bounces off of people.
Hey, and look, just to what we're all saying, that three cone drill and that shuttle is more important than the 40. And yep. Look, whenever we watch TV, we'll turn it, you know, when they usually have the combine, obviously they didn't have it this year, but in past years, they'll show highlights and you'll see a guy running, you know, the three cone drill and he looks good. I don't know if you guys have ever seen someone look bad during the three cone drill, but like, when a guy doesn't look fluid, you can definitely tell.
Well, the best one, like, oh, see the best one in recent memory.
Knocking, like, over cones and...
Bro, it took a guy like DK Metcalf, one of the most athletic freaks we've seen in the last 20 years, and dropped him out of the first round. Now, he's making his way.
That's real.
He's in a Pro Bowler. But the fact is, his shuttle run was so bad, they're like, oh, I can't take this dude in the first round.
They said it was worse than Tom Brady's.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's true or not.
He's too bad. He did too much bench. It's not his fault.
Hey, they can't press him at the line.
All right, but
that's 100% true.
Let's talk about where Najee Harris is going. Now, I may have seen one different, but I think every mock I've seen so far has Najee Harris going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if you changed that positioning in the second mock, Brandon, that you did. But I've seen Najee Harris going to the Steelers at their pick. I think it's 25 in every single person's mock draft. It's like it's written in stone. The man, but the thing is, I think people like it so much because it fits. He's a culture guy. He's a downhill runner. Like, is this where he's going? Is this the first running back we see taken?
I feel like everything's going to depend on a lot of variables. Teams ahead of them, for example, that may need a running back, but... Again, like my last mock draft that I did, I ended up putting Travis Etienne as going to the Steelers, which would probably upset a lot of Steelers fans. But again,
It should not at all upset any Steelers fans.
I know. That's what's weird. Like, everybody, they're just so dead set and locked in on that. But
Najee Harris and Travis Etienne are so close.
Yeah, and I've got the Dolphins, for example. And again, Etienne is a guy who... and we'll get to him in a minute, but he's kind of got the Kamara skill set. I could see the Dolphins taking a running back with that second pick. They're potentially in there.
Especially with their huge treasure trove of draft picks. They can afford a pick of a running back in the first round.
I mean, I could see the Chargers.
I literally was waiting for someone to stop talking to say, there's a slight chance that maybe the Chargers fall in love with somebody. But I think they're so concentrated on getting Justin Herbert protection, they still go offensive line. But let's jump down to Clemson running back Travis Etienne, who we've been talking about, the ACC's all-time rusher. Now, I think that people, when they say conference, like all-time rushers, brush it off. Like, the rich history of backs from the ACC. Like, that's something to say. To be the ACC's all-time leading rusher, especially in the modern era where a lot of backs catches balls out of the backfield, coming from a backfield like Clemson's where there's been a lot of talent and championship-quality players the past few years. To be able to hold down that position, that says a lot about the young Travis Etienne.
I always like to look at guys in the big games that, you know, whether it's a top 25 opponent, a top 10 opponent, whatever, or the college football playoff. I know, you know, not this past college football playoff, but the one prior versus Ohio State, he was held in check on the ground for the most part, but he was able to do things as a receiver to set things up for Clemson. He made some huge plays down the stretch in that game. And that's really where he solidifies himself as a top pick, is his ability as a receiver out of the backfield. He's just got, he's got that home run hitting speed. He's probably the best back in this draft in terms of that capability, being able to get out in space and just hit the home run. You know, again, I think he honestly, he falls into that category with the guys that are like Kamara, CMC, and Barkley in this particular draft class. He could be potentially the best running back in this class overall, just because of all of those variables. So again, I mean, an explosive player. I've seen a lot of Travis Etienne, and he's obviously played in a ton of big games. So
can I ask you this, Brandon? And I've seen a considerable amount of Etienne, probably not as much as you have, though. Would you, from my perspective, I feel like Travis Etienne, as you said, he's not necessarily a finished product. He's a big home run threat. He can do everything pretty well. He's dynamic when you think of him getting the ball in space, whether it's on a bubble or a little screen pass and just getting it and going. I feel like when I watch Travis Etienne, I feel like he's still not there as a pass catcher quite yet. Would you agree or disagree? Like I feel like Najee Harris, after seeing what I saw towards the latter half last season, I like Najee Harris as a pass catcher, I think, more than Travis Etienne now.
Wow.
Remember our conversation during the college football show? They're a lot more basic than what Alabama is offensively. So, yeah. I mean, again, if I were to put Etienne in some of those same situations, I feel confident that he can make similar plays for Alabama.
Hot take
alert. I feel like that's...
Etienne will be the bust of this running back class.
Whoa!
And the reason I say this, and, you know, it's... And by bust, I mean, I don't think he's going to be a full-time starter.
Toilet.
He may actually be able to carve out, like, a third-down spot for himself. Well deserved. But he will at least be a good, decent, passable third down running back. But there is one running back that he reminds me of. His skill set that just did not translate, and I cannot shake it, and it is the guy that he broke the record for, ACC all-time leading rusher, and that's CJ Spiller. I think he may have like a year or so where he just does it. He's a great back, but I don't think he's gonna be what his resume brings. Does that make sense?
I don't hate it. And when I was looking at the backs, I'm like, Travis Etienne. Yeah, I think he's more likely to be a bust than Najee Harris. I feel like Najee Harris is definite. I think Travis Etienne could possibly be a bust. But I want to say this. The difference between the comparison you made and C.J. Spiller was probably before his time.
That's true.
The game's more open now.
A couple of years later, he might have been a different back.
So even if Etienne, let's say he struggles running between the tackles, if he can become a really good third down back, a dual threat, like all for the past year, I've said his player comp to me is Alvin Kamara. He's quick twitch, and he seems to be able to just like just glide through the holes. Like, he doesn't really even stop and cut and go. It's almost like they're just gliding through it. Like, you see somebody go left, he just goes right without even sacrificing any speed. So I see the player comp between Kamara and Etienne. I could see Etienne being a bust. I know everybody like, oh, crazy. Look, Brandon. Look, Nate. I know don't nobody want to be wrong on wax, but everybody ain't going to make it. Yeah. So we gotta have some balls. We gotta somebody gonna be a bust.
Etienne is the guy that most out of these top four backs that I feel has to land in the exact right spot for him to succeed.
If Travis Etienne goes to the Steelers, like Brandon, like Football Scout 365 is projecting,
I feel like that'd be a good thing.
Like it is the perfect situation. You're going to watch him be an all time great back, as long as he doesn't hold out.
An all time great back.
As long as he doesn't hold out wait for more money.
Damn.
Write it down.
Rumor, like, the big so rumor float.
That's a more hot take than my hot take.
I think so. Hey, if you so take it back like this, in Mike Tomlin's offense, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't hold out, plays those years, are we talking about Le'Veon Bell being a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I mean, were they going to pay young Le'Veon Bell?
They were going to pay him $37 million. They were going to pay him an absurd amount of money.
He was worth more.
I don't know.
No, he wasn't. He got paid more and then didn't produce. You stick him on the field and stays. He's an all-time great running back.
Look, if Travis Etienne goes to Pittsburgh like Brandon projects, like, of course you're not going to hate it. Big Ben is going to be checking down to him at a, like, abnormal rate than he's ever have.
I mean, because
he doesn't have a Big Ben's, like, 39. He doesn't look good out there. So, of course, he's going to be checking it down. Travis Etienne, if he goes to Pittsburgh, he's probably going to catch 65 balls.
But let's be real. People every single time that Pittsburgh drafts running back. How much hype did we hear about Anthony McFarland last year? Did he see the field more than like 100 snaps?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Who was excited about him?
He was everyone's sleeper. Anytime Pittsburgh drafts a running back, he's like, oh, hey, look I out for
say
this guy.
Brandon, you can't say who was excited about him.
Who?
Because you was excited about him, won't you?
Who are we talking about?
Anthony McFarland.
I stand corrected. Look, if I don't know something, I won't say anything. I didn't know who Anthony McFarland was, but Brandon put a plug in my ear. I'm not saying you was all for him, but you put the plug in my ear about who he was. I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me pick him up.
He's a speed guy, like an edge, like get to the edge. He's not the between the tackles type of player. That doesn't mean he can't win
you a fantasy championship.
Yeah, just ask Robbie Anderson about Woody. Hey, put Woody on his back.
I will say this: ETN, he did lead college football in yards after catch, which I mean, Clemson runs a lot of screens.
I feel like Travis Etienne is a year late because he is exactly what the Chiefs wish Clyde Edwards-Helaire was. Like they could have taken him this year, and that's the player that they actually wanted.
I really like what Travis Etienne does after the catch. And between the tackles, I think he is the closest coming out of college comparison that I can give you to Alvin Kamara, and I think he's the second best athlete in this draft in the running back class.
All right. So any other spots that maybe we could see ETN eke into in the first round? I've seen the Jags before reuniting him with Trevor Lawrence.
That goes back to what I said before, Urban Meyer's statement last week where he's like, we're going to take the best available. So if he's in their lap and he's on their board high up, then could be Lawrence and Etienne.
Look, something that I wanted to say earlier, this draft is going to have a lot of whoa, I can't believe this guy went there because – I'm just picturing it. I think Miami at 18 is a great spot to get whatever running back that they like, right? But what if Miami goes, we're expecting Miami to go receiver at 6. What if they don't? What if they go, you know, another position at 6 and see if they can get one of those receivers at 18?
Then the hometown kid, Tony.
Or what if Fields drops and they're like, you know what, we're sitting here.
Yeah.
Fields won't make it past 16.
But what if he goes 6?
Oh, maybe, yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I was saying.
I thought about that early this morning.
And there's a guy local that they got a good look at that's sitting in that range for the 17th pick in Tony.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. You don't like Tony if they went quarterback at 6, at 17 for the Dolphins right now?
The only thing I can definitively say about receivers is, if it's not like one of the top four, I'm not sure.
Brandon looks troubled by my Tony.
I would say if they go 6, if they don't go tackle or offensive line early, or let's just say Kyle Pitts or whatever happens in that scenario, then yeah, I feel like they're still a candidate to trade. They're going to trade back again, but they move back up for a reason, right? They traded, then they traded back up. So they traded back up.
Yeah,
they see something they want in that spot.
I'd be surprised if they went Pitts just because of Gesicki, but he's shown so much promise.
Yeah, you can use them both.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems like they need a wide receiver. They've been, besides, outside of Devontae Parker, they've been hurting.
Fitz is a wide receiver. I can put him at wide receiver.
And anyway, you also got to think about the coaching tree that Flores comes from, right?
That's true, New England.
At the end of the day, I feel like anyone who comes from Bill's tree, they're going to want to run the ball
respect
and
the
play
ends.
Defense. And so, you know, two tight ends will do that for sure.
Let's move over to North Carolina. The University of North Carolina, they're not known for the running back position, but they got two of them this year. And they're both talked about being like solid second round picks, right? Second, third round picks. That's what people are looking
at. Time out. They're not known for football at all.
They've had some
Lawrence Taylor,
Julius Peppers, Hakeem Nicks.
Okay, having like four players that have been drafted in the first round, four or five, does not mean they're known for football. Like UNC is not a football school. UNC is a basketball school.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, well,
I was really hoping you were gonna get on your credibility by dropping him.
I'm not getting on my credibility. That's just
Mitchell Trubisky is not like. All right, time out. Mitchell Trubisky is not a reflection on UNC. That's a reflection on the Bears.
They're first round picks, though. Like Mitchell Trubisky was going to go in the first round, whether he was drafted or not.
No way. He was not going in the first round. The Bears didn't take him at two.
What? So you're saying Mitchell Trubisky falls out of the first round that draft?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold up. Wait.
He was 5-9 as a starter. He had started 1 year and looked like shit on the field.
Somebody's gonna take a stinky flyer on him in the first round.
Put it this way, people. I don't like. This is how dumb the media is. Like somehow they put it in the Bears' ear that Mitchell Trubisky was needed to go to, and so they traded the third round pick. They swapped picks with San Francisco. San Francisco wasn't going to draft Mitchell Trubisky.
I mean, someone would have grabbed him.
Oh, God, that's so disgusting.
I don't know. That was pre John Lynch, right?
No, that was the first move that John Lynch ever made. And then they drafted Solomon Thomas.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? He may have drafted Trubisky.
Yeah, Solomon Thomas wasn't that great either.
Solomon Thomas. Like, at least Solomon Thomas had more, like, I liked Solomon Thomas pick more than Mitchell Trubisky pick.
Well, Solomon Thomas coming into that draft was, like, the pick. He was like,
exactly.
Hey, this guy, you're going to get him, and he's going to be ready to start, and he's probably the least riskiest player you can draft, and boy, were they wrong. So
they were so wrong. But anyways.
We could all be
them. Woody, I defer back to you. I apologize.
Michael
University
Carter.
Of North Carolina, the football school.
Yes, Michael Carr. Javonte Williams. Yeah, he's the guy that I think consensus is the guy with the special upside. That's the guy that a lot of people are saying, like, he's the better of the two. He has the chance to be, like, an above-average running back in the NFL, correct?
Yeah, I think Williams might be special, man. Like,
TJ!
Like
my boy,
like Nick Chubb, kind of special. Wow. I think Brandon brought up Travis Etienne led the NCAA in yards after a catch this past season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Javonte Williams led the NCAA in yards after contact this season. His contact balance, we were all in the group chat 2-3 weeks ago. We had a full discussion about contact balance, and we named some running backs currently in the NFL who possess great contact balance. Javonte Williams has great contact balance. I worry about, and it's something Brandon said about Najee Harris, if he has that long speed. But just as far as the intangibles and being instinctual when he gets the ball, I really like Williams.
Williams just runs people over, and then he can make people miss. I mean, you name it. He's got the full bag of tricks, so to speak, as a running back. He's got – his tool belt is full, right? He can run between the tackles. He can get outside. He's a good receiver.
Did he run a 40, Brandon? Do you know? Whenever I question a player's speed – And speed isn't everything, so I don't do it often, but sometimes I question it. And then when the player comes around and draft time is up and they don't run a 40, it makes me question it even more, to be honest with you. Like, when I heard Justin Fields was running a 40 3 weeks ago, I'm like, oh, he about to blow it off the doors because that man not running a 40 unless he can add to his value. He hurt his value, but somehow, some way. But anyway.
Yeah, he's. I believe he's got like a 4.55.
Okay, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, some people look at that and they're like, that's hell good yeah. Football speed for a running back.
Yep. Le'Veon Bell came into the league running a 4.6-ish. So, I mean, hey.
That's what a lot of people think Najee would have ran.
Yo, Antonio Brown.
I think he'd be around that too.
Yeah. Antonio Brown, granted, he's a receiver. You know what Antonio Brown's 40 time was? What? Antonio Brown ran a 4.58. But when you watch him play,
he looks faster than that.
He doesn't look like a 4.58 guy. He looks like the best, fastest guy out there. Well, in his prime, at least. But
you still got it. He still got it. We saw it last year. Potential fits for Javonte Williams drafted. We're looking at this. Do you think anyone maybe takes a risk on him at the end of the first, or are we talking about a solid second-round pick here?
I don't think it's a solid second-round pick.
Running backs aren't being drafted in the first round.
This is true.
You know what I mean? Especially, I mean, if they're getting drafted, they're getting drafted late. He's not scheme-dependent. He can go anywhere. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what's nice about the running backs in this class, too. You're not looking at it. The first four guys, really, they're all good receivers. So,
yeah, okay. Look, I think Williams, as Brandon said, running backs, we're not used to seeing them go in the first round, especially lately. Clyde went the last pick of the first round last year, and he was the only running back drafted in the first round, if I recall correctly. But I could see Williams going in the back half of that first round, maybe. But then, obviously, the second round, I don't think he'll make it through the second round at all. But I could see him going as early as the late first to, hell, you got Buffalo sitting at, and I know Buffalo went Zach Moss last year, but we don't know how they really feel about their running backs because Devin Singletary isn't an every down guy. Look,
I think Buffalo is a prime target to pick up a running back at the end of the first.
For sure. I don't think New Orleans will go running back, but we can justify them going running back with Latavius Murray being 30, losing weapons on offense, losing Drew Brees. Maybe they can go get Williams and run the ball 75% of the time with Taysom Hill at quarterback. Who knows? I mean, it's some possibilities out there.
Najee Harris would be fun to watch run in that cold weather. Up in Buffalo at the end of the year.
Najee doesn't even like cold weather, I don't think, at this point.
Najee's over there hanging out with Tua going like, hey, Tua, you think they can get me them draft me?
Probably.
I'd like to stay in Miami.
All right, well, let's talk about his counterpart, North Carolina running back Michael Carter. I feel like he's the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
So what's he doing? Oh, no, stepchild.
I think Michael Carter is the best athlete at the running back position in this draft.
Wow.
I don't think he will be better than Najee Harris or Travis Etienne, but I think he will be significantly better.
Because you call Travis Etienne an all-time GOAT. All-time great.
Time out. In the right system, I believe Travis Etienne is an all-time great.
Don't preface it now.
No. That's what I said. I said in Pittsburgh, Travis Etienne is an all-time great running back. Literally, that's what I said. I think, hey, it is what it is, people. Like, you can boo me all you want. That's the take.
Are you not entertained?
If Travis Etienne goes to Detroit, sorry, your career is already over. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm not going to defend. No running back is going to Detroit and going to be successful. The last one to do that was literally the greatest running back ever to play the game of football. So, and he could only do it for under a decade because they suck so bad. Anyways, back to Michael Carter. Michael Carter is the best running back as far as pure athleticism on here. And I think he has all of the giftings to be great.
Like, yeah, you know, I feel like you're describing a girl, though, that, like, you can't figure out why, but you just broke up with her because you knew she wasn't the one.
Like, because her cousin was hotter.
She's great, you know? Like, she's just, like, she's got a good job.
Carter was the leader in that backfield.
We'll put it this way. It would not surprise me if Michael Carter ends up being the best running back out of this draft class in 10 years. That's what I think of. That's how highly I think of Michael Carter.
Even over all-time great Travis Etienne. That's a bold statement.
Carter was ultimately the leader, though, out of the backfield for Carolina. I mean, he played for 4 years, you know, led the offense in yards. He was the go-to guy on first and generally second down. So he's the early down player, but he was also a good receiver, too, both guys. Their skill sets were equal for the most part. I do like Williams. Just his running style is just... He's violent, you know?
Brandon, I feel like...
Love a violent running back.
I feel like you've done a little more homework on this than I have, than probably all of us. But at what point did this become a legitimate... Like, before this year, I didn't really know who these guys were. I'm not even going
to
lie.
Same here. Hand raised. Hand to God.
I mean, honestly, Michael, like I said, Michael Carter would probably have been the guy that people would think would get the most publicity going into this year, but it's the skill set of Javonte Williams. Like I just said, like, you see him on film just running people over. But even in 2019, Williams had almost 1,000 yards and Carter had over 1,000 yards, like 2020, where
that is wild.
Williams had 1140 and Carter had 1245 rushing, and Carter averaged almost 8 yards a carry last year rushing, while Williams averaged 7.2. So pretty insane, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're getting two amazing running backs in that backfield. So
right on. Do you see any possible later round fits?
Yeah, so I see him potentially like a third rounder. There's three guys that are first and second round. That's your Etienne, Harris, Javonte Williams. Any of those guys could be first or second round. Carter be somewhere in the third round. Fit-wise, I mean, as we get deeper into the draft, I mean, any team that needs a running back that doesn't already get one, your Miamis of the world, the Jets, Pittsburgh, for example, I mean, they get down the line. What if they don't draft a running back until the third round and Carter's sitting around? Boom, there's your guy. So, again, it's third rounder, just about anywhere that needs a running back.
If Michael Carter goes in the third round, whoever gets him is – like, just that's the best, one of the best value picks they've gotten, because he's gonna start, he's gonna win the running back competition. You know where I'd love to see him, Woody?
Where's that?
New York Giants.
He's gonna beat out Saquon Barkley?
No, not beat out, but you know what I would love to see? I would love to see Saquon have a competent backup, so like, you know, like,
they, you and me both, brother, but they did just sign Devontae Booker.
I said competent backup.
I mean, you saw Devontae Booker last year for the Raiders? You looked amazing.
The Raiders last year had a different offensive line than the Giants currently have.
I actually think the Giants offensive line boosts up this year because of the draft pick last year, Nate Solder coming back. I think he has some potential. But I see what you're saying. I wouldn't mind having the man on my roster, that's for sure. So, but let's move on to, now this is our sleeper picks. So everyone pick a guy that's going to go in the later rounds that you think maybe could do a little something, something. My first guy, you know, I'm a Pac-12 defender. Apologist is probably a better word. Go ahead. See, I already see you dialing something. let's talk about my man, Oregon State running back Jamar Jefferson. I think Jamar Jefferson can be had in the later rounds, like fourth, fifth round pick, unless somebody takes a fancy to him, maybe even sixth. If he can falls a little bit. But this man's got the end-to-end speed. He was one of the most explosive running backs in the country for 3 years. He had runs of 74 and 80 yards last year. He's the real deal Holyfield out of the backfield.
No, I like him a lot. I had him at three before the whole Carter Williams showed their face more in 2020. And the Pac-12 wasn't really, we didn't know whether they were going to play football. That's kind of where that started to happen for me. But yeah, he's a really good player.
He played at Oregon State. He's a Pac-12 guy.
Yeah.
Which means he played against Pac-12 defenses.
Oh, you wild for that, man. Out of pocket. Out of pocket.
Nah, look, I don't watch Pac-12 football, all right? So I don't even know who this guy is. But I'm willing to take a look at him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I could see someone taking a stab at Jamar that's looking for that, like, change of pace, home run threat guy, you know?
6 games, 858 yards, 6 yards, 6.45 yards a carry last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Brandon, who's a sleeper for you?
I kind of have two guys. Demetric Felton from UCLA. He's a guy who wants to make the switch from running back to receiver, but he was kind of a utility player, kind of that Antonio Gibson skill set somewhat, somebody to keep an eye on. I think he wants to play receiver in the NFL, but I believe wherever he lands, he's going to get an opportunity to kind of go back and forth and be a receiver out of the backfield or taking carries out of the backfield, give you kind of that Curtis Samuel versatility, but he's a far more physical player, not super explosive at all. My super sleeper pick, which is not really a super sleeper pick anymore, is Chris Evans from Michigan. Now, he didn't even really do anything a year ago, and he was ineligible the season prior to play due to academic issues at Michigan's Pro Day. He ran a 4.4. And he also, I think he had a 40 vertical in addition to that, but he's a player that Michigan didn't really utilize his skill set like they should have.
Go figure.
Right. And he's a guy that if he were in a more of a, when he got to Michigan, he actually came in as a receiver prospect. So they loved his receiving ability. He was always praised for that in high school. So he's a player that I think his skill set translates perfectly, could be sneaky. Somewhere. He's a guy, fifth, sixth, seventh rounder. So we'll see.
Nate, CJ, you guys, either of you have a sleeper you'd like to cover?
Yeah, my sleeper pick would be running back Javon Hawkins from Louisville. Young guy, he's a bit on the smaller side, so he probably can't be an every down back. 5'9", about 200 pounds. His freshman year at Louisville, he broke the school record. He had 1,525 yards on 264 carries. So he literally put Louisville on his back. Louisville isn't known to have, you know, top quality athletes, especially when it comes to football. You think of Lamar Jackson, you can think of another guy here and there, Teddy B, Devontae Parker, and that's about it. So he literally put the team on his back, smaller running back, quick. Can catch a ball out of the backfield, can do a lot of different things. Wasn't highly recruited out of high school, ran for over 4,000 yards in his high school career. I think he was under-recruited because of his lack of size. And then Louisville, Florida is a pipeline state for them. So all the guys that are under-recruited in the state of Florida, Louisville, a few other schools go down there and recruit their area really, really well. But my sleeper is Javon Hawkins. I think he can be a premier third down back. He maybe be like a Giovanni Bernard type of player comp. So we'll see.
All
right. Hey, don't be just comparing anybody to Gio, man. Come on, man.
Gio's special.
I really like Trey Sermon out of Ohio State University.
That ain't under the radar, man. I'm just kidding.
I mean, he's not up there on many draft boards, but I think the main concern with Trey Sermon is his durability. He hasn't really been, I don't believe he's played a full season without having to sit a game in college, which is definitely a concern. But he has all the tools and the physical giftings to be good in the NFL. The only question is, can you stay healthy? Playing at Ohio State, I mean, he's going to have some of the best physical care for any college athlete. So my concern with him is durability, but I think he's a great runner, and he's got great hands. So I could see him all of his skills transitioning well into the NFL.
Yeah, I like that. I'm a fan of Trey Sermon. Watching him run, athlete, he'll run you over. He'll jump over you. The only negative thing I can say about him, and again, man, I really didn't dig deep into this whole running back thing, but the one thing that I can say I didn't like about Trey Sermon was when he measured, and he measured at 6'3". He was an inch taller than I thought he was going to be, and I'm like, damn, you don't want tall running backs. But obviously, that's not always the case. It's always outliers. Derrick Henry, who's a tall running back, runs a bit high. Eddie George, tall running back, runs a bit high. Trey Sermon, tall running back, runs a bit high. But so does Najee Harris. So, yeah, I'm tripping over an inch, to be honest with you.
So does Jamar Jefferson, too. He actually is up runner.
Who is... Crap. Who is the guy that run that I compared to Adrian Peterson earlier in the...
Oh, AJ Dillon? Oh, I'll never forget that.
AJ freaking Dillon, man. That guy is a monster. And he runs straight up and down.
I can't believe you brought that up again.
I mean, look at the way he was housing people in the playoffs, man.
He did all right.
And Tampa Bay's defense is not small, and they play fast. And he was just like, you know what? No, you go ahead and go over here.
Yeah, AP got about 15,000 yards of that, though.
Yeah, that's they. I'm not saying you're wrong, but he that running style reminded me of Adrian Peterson. I was like, who was that?
Yeah, but that's going to wrap up our running back coverage for the 2021 pre-draft experience. As always, all of our draft info and expertise comes from FootballScout365.com. If you want to win your fantasy championship, if you want all your friends to be like, how did he know that before I did? You want to go check out FootballScout365.com for all your fantasy and betting needs. And, you know, guys, we're going to be having a live draft coverage on Twitch. Check us out over on Twitch at the No. 5 Tool Sports Podcast. That night, we're going to be sitting there talking about the draft coverage. Who wants to listen to old Mel with his dirty, dirty mullet and Todd McShay looking like a plastic baby doll up there just as a talking headpiece for all the NFL owners, and this man don't know a thing. So tune in over at 5 Tool Sports Podcast. We're going to be covering it all over. And as always, check out our socials at the No. 5 Tool Sports Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And until next week, we're going to be bringing you a mock draft tomorrow, and then we're going to be doing some wide receiver coverage on Wednesday. So all these up to the draft, stick with us. It's going to be fun. I mean, hey, man, football's back, and I'm happy. We out.
I still ain't got my check yet from the other shows, and we doing all this other stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's why we're rushing.
I want my check.
It's in the mail.
Yeah.
Let's hurry up and do these four shows real quick.
Where my money?